I'm going to point out some of the things in this commandment, number six, the first in the series of the commandments that deal with loving your brother. And remember, as we talked about and as we're going to go through here in a little bit, once Rafiah goes back over the kind of give us a overview of what the first five laws were about, commandments were about. And we know that all of these commandments all work together, and they're all was set by Moshe to first teach man to love the Father, the Creator. And then the last of those that you've seen shows you the honor that should be given to not only your earthly mother and father, but also your Father in heaven, who is the Creator, and also to Mother Earth, who bore you as well. And so it teaches you to love the Creator. The next five of the foundation of all social institutions, and this is what was established from the beginning when we talked about Ashur and what Ashur names mean. And so, and remember that the Ten Commandments are for the preservation of a society or a social institution and interaction going on within a government and amongst the people that are spread abroad within this territory that is being governed by a governing body. And these Ten Commandments are there to preserve it. And so the first one that Moshe put in here was do not murder, ties back to the beginning. And I'm going to show that. But I want to show you the principle that he set for the foundation of all society, which I'm going to put heavily. We're going to talk heavily when we get into the motto. I don't know if by the feast time we'll be at this point to where I want to show you that the foundation of these first law was to show you what was to be and what is the foundation of every society and the foundation of Yahweh's kingdom, which is love. And Moshe put this here and chose this first one because of the severity of it, as Rafiah said. And as you notice in Exodus 20:13, that he read you that the word murder, which they put kill, which it should be murder, that is there. And both are synonymous. They mean the same thing. One just has a premeditated aspect to you. But I want to show you the overlapping aspect of what this law is saying. And the first thing in the word Rafiah brought out there was 7523, which the primitive root of that word is 2026 in the Hebrew. And if you will look this up, it means to smite with a deadly intent. And notice the intent is there. He wants you to show you something there, that the intent was there. It means murder. And it indicates the taking of life. And this is very important because the covenant is a covenant of life and peace. So the covenant is to establish and for the preservation of life. Then it says the ruthless personal violence of man against man. And this is what it covers, the personal violence of man against man, the wholesale murder or slaughter in battle and even after battle, which brings in war crimes and all of these things that even Moshe, as I told you, if you want to write here as a reference to this in the first chapter of Moshe. And if you'll go there, because this law deals with this, because this is an overlapping aspect, because it gets into the intent. What is the intent inside of the heart of that man, that woman, or that child, or that nation? The intent is what Yahweh is focused on there. And you remember in the Moshe, let me get there myself, the Moshe, and in the first chapter of Moshe, he starts to deal with very emphatically the war crimes in the first chapter there. And he tells you that for three transgressions in verse 1 of Damascus and for 4, I will no longer turn away his punishment because they have thrashed Gilead with the sledges of iron. But I will send fire into the house of Hazael and consume the palaces of Ben-Hammah. And then he goes on, he starts to break this down and show us some of the cruelty. If you notice in verse 13, read this whole chapter, because what Moshe is breaking down is the war crimes the violence and the intent that I'm about to start showing in this word that leads into massacres that we see occur. And notice verse 13, this is what Yahweh says, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will no longer turn away this one, because they ripped up the women with the child in Gilead. I mean, whipping the child out of the womb of a mother. Now you see the viciousness that's here. And this is when war was going on. And the intent inside of this individual is what Yahweh is considering. And I'm going to show you why. It's deep. Because Moshe was trying to show Israel why this is important. And why was this the first law? And I'm about to, first commandment, and I'm about to get into that. Let's see here. It says the slaughter in battle or after battle, violent killings, that is massacres that we know. There's two principles that Moshe established in this law. And this can be found, by the way, as a rendering of this word in the red letter edition of the Strong's Exhaustive, Expanded Exhaustive Concordance. And it shows you that there are two principles in this Hebrew word that Moshe wants to establish. Okay. And the first is the principle of the sanctity of life, the sanctity of life. And this is the principle that this is so important to understand as we get through this today. I want to show you what an incredible thing this is. Okay. And how it's the foundation of love, the love that Yahweh wants, the sanctity of life, and the principle of retribution for the taking of life. And because of the fact that you're going to see the significance of why it's there. And this term sanctity that is used here is the term that when you look the word up, sanctity, anyone can know, it means the sacredness of life. And it has two parts to the sanctity of life. That you have every man, woman, and child on this earth, including the beast, the governments, have a sacred, and please remember this and write this down, because as I go along, you're going to see this. You have a sacred obligation to protect life. And this is the reason why this is for man and government. Because man can strike his mother. You remember? The law said, do not strike your mother or your father. And remember, this is not just speaking of your physical mother and father, but also the earth, because the total duty of all man is to protect, especially government, is to protect all the life-giving functions on this earth, all life-giving functions. They give life on this earth to man and were created for the benefit of man. So I want you to think in an expanded aspect, because this is the foundation of this law. Because it deals with striking something that has life. And we're going to see that this is the foundation of Yahweh's government and his covenant, is life and peace. And anything that would disrupt that in any form, the sanctity of that, the sanctity of life, that is all life on this earth. And this killing and murder is just an extension of this to all life, all the life-giving functions on this earth, not only including man. Now, that means you have a sacred obligation and there is a sacred right to have life. And for what purpose? And we're about to get into this. Because I want everyone to understand this one. Because Moshe wrote it for a purpose. Excuse me. Wrote that for a purpose. And I want to expound this right now and show everyone why Moshe chose this law. And why he chose the commandment first and foremost to start out with. And this term sacred that is used here, which is synonymous with the word holiness. And remember, this is a sacred obligation that every man has as it says in the beginning, to guard and protect. It is our job. This is a sacred obligation of every human being or every man on this earth, not a human being, but every man on this earth for all the life-giving functions. And this term sanctity, which is a derivative of the word holiness, because the taking of life or the disruption of any life-giving function on this earth is a direct insult against the holiness of Yahweh. Because that holiness has a foundational part of his government is life. And the greatest enemy of Yahweh is what? Your scripture tells you. It is death. So why would the law sanction death or murder or killing when Yahweh's kingdom is the foundation of life? And Yahweh wants you to understand this, because this is why Moshe put it first. Because the foundation of this government and all social interaction within this government is life and the preservation of life. And it's important that man understands that, that you have a sacred obligation to do so, because anything opposite of that is an insult against the holiness of Yahweh and the sanctity of life that he sanctified and he sanctioned in creation. Because nothing about Yahweh is against life. Everything he's about is about life and things having life. And this term here is are often used without distinction to mean either the state, please remember this, we should get deep, or the character of one who is spiritually perfect, or what is perfect in society, when no matter what it is, whatever Yahweh created and gave life to is perfect. It was created perfectly. It is only when man disrupts that is where you start to see the reverse of what Yahweh has created. And this is to put this in our mind, because murdering and killing has to go beyond just taking a man's life. It revolves everything around you and everything that we are responsible for, and that is actually responsible for you living, because everything on this earth is created for the on the account and for the benefit of man. Something which is sacred or hollow, that is life. This, in this case, we're talking about life, all life-giving functions and all life in its entail is sacred and it's hollowed. More often, it implies spiritual perfection, whether intrinsic or essential to you as man. Sanctity may be used either as denoting saintliness or holiness attained by a saint, or, now get this now, or the quality of being sacred by law, and especially by natural law, immune from violation. It should be. You should be immune. Notice that. No, I'm gonna read this again because I want to expound this point that's being made here. Or the quality of being sacred, or by law, and especially by natural law, which we know what they call the divine law, should be immune from all violation. That is, anything that Yahweh has sacred, sanctioned by law, which life is sanctioned by law, all life is sanctioned by law to not be violated, period, by man, in no way, in no fashion whatsoever. Yahweh created it perfect. It is only when we break his law, which is a direct action against life. Every time we break the law, it is an action against life. Because the laws of Yahweh preserve life. It's the principle of the sanctity of life is what the foundation of the law is. There's nothing in Yahweh laws that promotes death in any fashion whatsoever. It only promotes life and the continuance of that life if those laws are kept and upheld. And then you get the word sacred. So we get from this is the sacred. This is the sacred obligation that we all have. And I'm gonna expound this real quickly. I'm laying this down. Please bear with me here just a tad bit. I want to bring this out because I want to show what Yahweh is showing us here. And you remember last week, the week before last, I showed you what this term holy means. It is one who is perfected in righteousness, one or a people devoted entirely to Yahweh, having his spiritual qualities and possessing his spiritual qualities. And this is what holiness is all about. And we're going to get into this a little deep. But this term sacred can all mean having such a character as to be protected. This character, and I'm going to show you why it's protected. Protected by law, custom, human respect against any breach, intrusion, defilement, or profanation of it. And when we talked about this in profaning Yahweh's name, and how do you do this? How do you insult or break this? that is being protected by law, this sanctity of life and this holiness that Yahweh is talking about here, the sacred and holiness, it is protected by law and by the customs, that is the ordinances that Yahweh said, human respect against any breach, intrusion, defilement, or profanation of that. Sacred implies holy, implies either a setting apart for a special and often exclusive use or end. And in this case, we're speaking of life. All life was, as it says here, was set apart for a special and often exclusive use by man. That's why Yahweh sets the usage of everything on this earth. And then an end. And for man, the sanctity of life is an exclusive end that Yahweh has in mind for the life that he instituted here on this earth in order to preserve man and also build man in his likeness and image. This is the end result of it. So when man kills another human being, then the sanctity of life that Yahweh set in his law to protect this life, this character that he wants you to build, and these quality, these spiritual qualities he wants you to build in life, it has an end. All life has a set apart special use and an exclusive end that Yahweh has a result, especially for man, because man was created to become rulers. And this means also a special character or quality which makes that person, get this now, and this is what this sacredness of life and sanctity of life, because this is the plan of Yahweh, is to build in you and make you a holy people. And this special character or qualities that we talked about that Yahweh wants you to possess, which makes that person or thing held sacred as an object of reverence, get this now, by every man and everyone in the universe eventually, which in technical use implies the utmost of holiness, sacredness, and in the more general use may retain the implication, but often tends to suggest an imputed rather than a genuine possessed character, justifying freedom from attack or violation. It also emphasizes its use, usually somewhat ironically now. Now get this next term here. To inviolate and to be inviolable, implying to things as laws, principles, treaties, agreements, institutions, persons, places, or objects that for one reason or another are secured from breach, infringement, attack, intrusion, or injury. The term from each of these chiefly is that to be inviolable, and it implies a character which does not permit or which distinctly forbids violation in any way. This is a character of violating. This is the mind state that Yahweh wants every man to get to. And the state that you're going to come to in this natural state is that the natural laws will protect this life. It will protect this life, and it will and what's so beautiful about this is once you gain this character, and what Yahweh is saying, that based on the natural law and the natural institution that he set up there, that the intrusion or attack, and this character will secure you against this. That is, once you become like Yahweh, it will secure you against any breach or anyone who would intrude upon or try to take the sanctity of life in there, because everything in the universe and everything in Yahweh's kingdom, the natural laws, if they are kept, they preserve you as something to be reverenced instead of to being violated. And once you come to that, you got to think about it. Even these beings, and one of the apostles said is that when you speak Yahweh's name, they tremble. They tremble at Yahweh's name, and they tremble at his presence, because they understand that going into the presence of Yahweh is a inferior aspect and a humbling aspect, even to beings that may have a direct thing against Yahweh himself. But they respect that holiness, and they know that that holiness can never be violated. And these beings, when they come into the presence of this holiness, there is an intrinsic thing inside of them that reverences that holiness. And when Yahweh says that once you gather this and gain this yourself, then this inviolable or inviolated or inviolable condition that will not permit you to be violated in any way. That is the holiness that Yahweh sets and gives you and telling you to become to will never be violated. Beings in heaven will respect it because they know that by natural law, as long as you are operating in this natural law, this respect, this fear, what we call reverence, will always be there. Even if a man has done evil, and even when Satan what is shown in EEO, when they came in the presence of Yahweh, did you see any level of disrespect that came to her? She respected Yahweh's holiness and his presence. And this is the same thing Yahweh is saying to you, because this is the life of holiness that he wants us to understand. And it has to do with life. And now think about it. This is the sanctity of life that Yahweh has set in his own law. Look over to Deuteronomy real quickly. And remember, this word sacred also means dedicated and consecrated. That is life. All life is dedicated and consecrated for you, for a particular use, a special use, and an exclusive and special end, purpose. There's a plan for life, all life. There is no life that is out there, no matter where it is in the universe, that is not, does not have a purpose. And when Yahweh says, do not murder, he wants you to think bigger, a whole lot more than just taking a human being's life, even though it is a direct violation against his holiness. And it's a profanation against his name, because everything that will that follows after this, when they're broken, profanes the holiness of Yahweh, every one of them. And so this is teaching you love. And we're about to get into this, because everything that we're talking about now is the foundation of love. And this law right here is the ultimate one, because Yahweh is trying to show you how in depth it gets into. And I feel we're finna get into this. Look to Deuteronomy 30, and let me get through this. And I want to get through this today and make this point and show everyone how important this law is and why Moshe chose it. And look at 30 verse 14. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. The law, he says, is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness. And notice what Yahweh is about now. And death and destruction, which what this word murder means. If you look this word up, Raphael gave you the meanings of it. At the key aspect of this law is destruction and death. The death that comes to this, that comes by this law being broken, that is to everything, even the earth and all of its life-giving function, which is the responsibility of government, is to preserve life, to guard and protect this earth and all of his life-giving functions, which includes man, and preserving man, the sanctity of life that Yahweh consecrated for man, because man was created for a purpose and given life for a purpose. And when we violate this, we violate the sanctity of life and we violate the holiness of Yahweh himself. And notice verse 16 now, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your father now, by walking in all of his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh may bless you in the land which he is going over, you're going in to possess. But if your heart turns away, notice what turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to gods, exactly what Eve did in the beginning, to submit to gods, to submit to this double principle of the mixture of righteousness and evil, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish and you will no longer prolong your days. Notice what Yahweh is about here. Life in the land which you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. This is what Yahweh has chosen for everything in creation. Life. He has nothing to do with death. So both you and your children may live. And look over to Matthew 5, because here we're going to see where the Savior expounds this. And he shows you how you murder and how it starts even with the sanctity of life that we just established. And there's two principles that Moshe wanted you to recognize, and we're going to see this at the end. The principle of the sanctity of life, which I told you is a sacred obligation and a sacred right that is given to every man, every creature, every plant, everything on this earth is given this sacred obligation that you and I have to preserve it, to preserve all life, all life. And notice Matthew verse 5, and notice verse 21. You have heard that it was said by the people of ancient time, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment. And again, whoever say rakah, insulting your brother, will be in danger of the Sanhedrin. But whosoever says nabal, desiring them to fall away, will be in danger of the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there yet remains, then remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar. And I want you to understand how important this is. And go first and reconcile with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle a controversy with your accuser quickly before it goes to court. And then Yahshua tells you the reason why. Look over to 1 Yochanan 3, and let's expound on what the Savior is talking about your brother. Hating your brother, which is the foundation of murder. It is murder before you actually commit the actual act of stabbing, shooting, or striking, or whatever way you want to kill him. It starts with hating first. And we're going to see the foundation of all of this here in just a few minutes. And why is this so important that all of the apostles taught this, my brothers? They taught this, and they understood that they were always teaching these commandments. Look in 1 Yochanan 3, look at verse 10. And it says this: in this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifested. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, and he does not love his neighbor. Now get this word here, because this is the foundation of what this law is teaching you. The principle of love, which is the foundation of Yahweh's kingdom and every society. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you shall love one another. Not as Cain. Notice what Cain does. No, this is the opposite of love now. Because every one of these laws that or commandments that come after these, after this murder, which murder is the highest form of your love, when you can preserve the life of your brother and preserve the sacred obligation and right of all life, this is the greatest form of love you can display towards your fellow man and creation. Not as Cain, though, who was of that wicked one, and notice what he did now. He murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. And when we just read you that, Yahweh set before you life by righteousness. So that means that Abel was teaching life or how men should live and how to love one another. Well, his brother's works were evil, which is the opposite of love, which is hatred. And all the other things that go with it, coveting and false witnessing and slandering, gossiping, backbiting, and all of these other things that go along with murdering, they are the foundation of it. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death, get this now, all of these things that are association with death that I just named, coveting, murder, all of these are death. They are all the portions of death. We have returned from death to life because we love the brothers. He who does not love his neighbor abides in death. He who hates his neighbor is a murderer. Notice they're always teaching you these commandments. And we're going to see this. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. Just take eternal off of it. No murderer has life in him. And Cain didn't have it. And he started to not have it when he started to envy and started to become jealous. Notice these are passions that leads to the actual committing of murder. And they are murder itself. Notice he said, anyone who has this in his heart, hates his neighbor, is a murderer already. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. No life whatsoever. And remember, we're returning from death, all of these passions and all of these things, we're returning from them to life, to the spiritual qualities and holiness of Yahweh. And this is the life that we're talking about, is a life of holiness. And when people hear this, they think we're walking around here, we're not touching this, and we're not eating that, which is all a part of it. It's a beginning part, but this life of holiness has qualities. It has a character. It has a way of life that you got to live, which is the foundation of it, is you displaying love all the time. And you speak life, and you and your whole mindset is the preservation of life. But this we know, verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, so we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But whoever has his world's possession and see his brother in need or neighbor in need, shuts up his heart, how does the love of Yahweh abide in him? My little children, let us not love in words, neither in speech, but in deed and in truth. Notice this. Notice this is us displaying love when we give our service in deed and in truth to mankind. Look to, look over the page right there. For by this we know that we are of the truth, and we and well assure our hearts in his presence. In his presence. Get this now. For if our heart condemns us, Yahweh is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Yahweh our Father. Look down to chapter 4. First Yaakov chapter 4, and look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from Yahweh. And everyone who loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He who does not love does not know Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. In this love of Yahweh was manifested towards us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us. Beloved, since Yahweh so loved us, verse 11, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him. Get this now. And he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. Whoever confesses that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Yahweh dwells in him, and he in Yahweh. And we have known and believed that believe the love that Yahweh has for us. Yahweh is love. And he who dwells in love dwells in Yahweh, and Yahweh in him. So how do we love? We're going to get into this. In this, our love is made perfect, that we may be bold with boldness in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so are we to become in this world, just like our Father. And that is the purpose of the sanctity of life. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, for fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his neighbor, whom he sees every day, how can he love Yahweh, whom he has not seen? Now, I don't care what color of the rainbow he is, or how fat or ugly or pretty or whatever it may be, that keeps you from loving your neighbor. What is this that keeps you from loving, and you're actually now walking as a murderer, which is a direct insult against the sanctity of life and the holiness of Yahweh your Father. And his holiness is about life. It's nothing in Yahweh is about death. For we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Yahweh must love his neighbor. He must love him. Look at 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. And you can read this, and I'm going to drop down here, but read verse 1. Let me just read that. Therefore, for the rest, brothers, we plead with you and exhort you in Yahshua, that just as you have learned from us how you ought to walk in order to please Yahweh, indeed you must live in order that you may abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you through Yahshua Messiah. For this is the will of Yahweh, your sanctification. Notice. And this is what these Ten Commandments do. They sanctify you as Yahweh's people. And they actually sanctify you in holiness. And the foundation of this holiness is love. It's love. That you be set apart in this holiness, you must abstain from all fornication now. Each of you shall know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. To who? To your father, and also to your mother who bore you. Not in the lust of depraved passions now, like the Gentiles who do not know Yahweh. In this manner, then, no man should defraud his brother or take advantage of him, for Yahweh is the avenger of all of these sins. We are forewarned you, bringing you testimony. For Yahweh does not call us into uncleanness, but into this holiness now. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but he rejects Yahweh, who also gives us this spirit. Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that we write to you, for you yourself are taught by Yahweh to love one another. Notice how they keep repeating this. And love is the highest quality of holiness. It is the highest quality of holiness. Look to Romans 13. Romans 13. Remember that. Love is the highest quality of holiness. And I can't remember who was the brother. And it might have been Isaiah that told me of a dream that he had. And I always remember this dream. I can't remember what brother it was. And I just remember the last part of that dream, excuse me, that they were ascending up from the earth. But as they were coming towards heaven, there was a voice that says that whoever the person was had to return. And the individual asked why. He said, thou lackest love. And I'm telling you that no one can see Yahweh without this holiness. And this is what is shown by your scripture. And the highest form and the highest quality of all of this is love. It is this love. And it's the love of life. And this is what the first commandment that Moshe gave you is showing you and demonstrating to you in this overlapping aspect of murder that I'm talking about is love of life. Because this is what your father is about. He's about life. And he knows the foundation of this is love. Without this love that Yahweh has, which is one of the highest qualities he has, then man cannot see him. You cannot see him without love. Because it's the highest quality that you can ever develop. Romans 13, notice verse 8. 13 verse 8, I'm in the wrong scripture myself. See, 13 verse 8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has performed the law. For the commandments, notice now, and this is what I'm teaching today. And I'm just giving you this verse and then I'm through. And I think I laid the foundation of what these others should be. And others can start preaching on this. And I want y'all to start looking at these laws in a very different manner. And remember, they are the glue to social interaction. And they're the glue to keep the love that Yahweh is talking about here in this society that we're building, that we'll be governing as leaders and rulers. And I'm going to get deeper into this and show you this in the model, because I'm just laying it down here. And notice what owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has performed the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Notice, you shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bring false testimony. You shall not covet. All and all other commandments are briefly summed up in these laws right here that we gave you. These commandments, all of them, are the sum up of summation of all of this. You must love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the love that the society has to have for one another. And these laws are the foundation of that society and the foundation of this love that we will always be displaying, not only to man, but to all creation. Love works no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love, the performing of the law. This is so beautiful. Let me skip down here out of some of these. Look to first, second Kefa. I'm going to skip that. Write down for your notes, Hebrews 12, 17. But go to 2 Kefa 2. 2 Kefa 1. And we all should be familiar with this scripture. 2 Kefa 1. And notice verse 2. 2 Kefa 1, verse 2. Is that right? Yeah. Love and peace be multiplied to you through the full knowledge of Yahweh and our King Yahshua Messiah, as his holy power has granted us all things that pertain to life. And this is the key that I want you to get, is that the process we're always speaking on, this very first thing that Moshe put out, thou shalt not murder, which is establishing the principle of the sanctity of life, which the covenant is all about. The covenant is the foundation of life and peace. It's increased. It's important that we understand that. And his holy power has granted us to us all things that pertain to life and holiness through the full knowledge of him who called us into glory and virtue, through which exceedingly great and precious promises has been given to us by him, in order that through these you may be partakers of that holy nature. Notice this now, this holy nature here, and escape the corruption in the world, which is through lust. Because like I said, the natural law preserves this holy nature, which is the foundation of this holy nature. It's the sanctity of life, that is all life in the universe. And this love protects it against all corruption. There's nothing corrupt can come to when love is abounding there, when the law, love the performing of the law, which is this love, and it will keep corruption. And life will, there would be nothing that would disrupt life ever if we will love the keeping of the law. And keep this right here that we're about to get into. Notice verse 5. And also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith now virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance perseverance, and perseverance holiness, and to holiness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, what is this here? Love. For if these things are in you and abound, they cause you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your King. So what causes a man to be barren and unfruitful in Yahweh's knowledge? Is he, thou lackest love. But he who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, you shall never fall. In this way, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our King and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. And nothing will make you unfruitful in that. Look to Yaakov 4. Two more scriptures here, and I will be done. Yaakov 4, or the book of James, if you're King James, if you have the King James Bible, James 4. And notice here, verse 1, I wrote a whole book on this, a whole work on this, based on this very scripture right here. And I titled it what this first thing says in Yaakov 4. What causes wars and fighting among you? And I wrote this work because of what are we talking about right now, okay? What causes wars and fighting among you? And remember, this was in the word murder. And I read you this in the word murder. It deals with wars, and not only wars, but what occurs after battles too, the war crimes, to where you start to act violently and viciously towards another fellow man. Now, war is only sanctioned when it's for the preservation of life. Not the provocation of provoking one to war or fighting. This should never be in any man, any government. It should not be provoking other nations into war, whatever it may be. Whether it's covetousness, whatever this act of hatred that you're showing, that is not the act of love, that is causing one to preservation of life, in whatever forms it may be, whether it's for their resources, that is for the preservation of the life and the economic support and benefit of their people, whatever it may be, that you are provoking war with. This is not Yahweh's way. And he's showing you what causes these wars and fighting among you. Notice what the apostle is saying to you now. It is not from this, from your lust, that battle in your members. You lust, but you do not have. You murder. Notice what this is all about. You murder and covet, but do not obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive, because you ask with wrong purposes. Yeah. And you also are destroying the sanctity and purpose of all life on this earth, which includes creation, in order that you may spend it on your own lust. You adulterers and adulteress, are we not speaking of the Ten Commandments here? The apostle is still speaking on the Ten Commandments. And the five that teaches you how to love your brother, your neighbor, your fellow government, your fellow nation that's bordering you. No matter who you are, North Korea, South Korea, whatever it may be, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what the law teaches. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of Yahweh. Do you think that the scripture teaches in vain that the spirit that dwells in man lusts to envy? And this is this passion that caused all of the first murders to ever occur. It's when this envy gets inside of a man's body. It is a very destructive passion, and it leads to murder and all the breaking of these commandments that teaches you how to love thy neighbor. So much greater is this mercy he gives. That is why he said, Yahweh resists the proud, but he gives mercy to the humble. There cannot be pride in love. When there's love, there's humility, there's humbleness. Notice verse 11 over here in the same. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. He who speaks evil against his brother condemns his brother, and speaks evil against the law and condemns the law. Did you know that you was doing this? It goes for all of us. Man, this is a great teaching. Notice what it does to the mind. And he's telling you, you're not only speaking against your brother, you're speaking against the law that tells you to love thy neighbor. And if you condemn the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. There is only one lawgiver, which is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who condemns another? Notice what Yahweh is saying here now. And the world, as I read you in international law, said there is not one body that can legislate and give them laws. We are that body that was supposed to be given to man. And we have the one lawgiver that has made us, Yada. Yada is the lawgiver. This is how deep this is. Go over to Genesis chapter 9 for my last scripture. And we're going to see where all of this started at and what Yahweh is saying to us here. And all of this should make sense now with this end, with the principles of the sanctity of life that's there. You can teach all day long on this because it's so imperative that this is so. And Moshe started with this because it is right here, because it was the foundation of the everlasting covenant that Yahweh made with all men, and then he also made with Israel. Surely, excuse me, for your lifeblood, I would demand an accounting. For all the blood that is shed on this earth, there will be an accounting. And by the way, you know, I think I brought this out before. This is actually shown in Psalms 110 when it says the same thing. But, you know, men, you know, they see this and think that the 144,000 will, what it says here in 110 verse 4, Yahweh has vowed an oath and will not relent nor change his mind. You are a priesthood forever after the order of Melchizedek. The rulers and kings at your right hand, O Yahweh, will strike the earth, kings in the day of his wrath, and they will execute judgment upon the nation. They will fill the earth with dead bodies. That is, they won't fill the earth. They will judge the earth for the dead bodies, for all the blood. And this is what Isaiah was inspired in himself to write for us, and showing that this is the case, that a time in man in this generation or a generation to come, that Yahweh will call an accounting, as he showed you right here, of all the blood. Because why? I just showed you that it is the sanctity, it is against the holiness of Yahweh and the internal purpose that Yahweh in himself has done. In Isaiah 26, write this down and put this with this scripture. 26 verse 21. For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth, get this now, just like he did in the days of Abel, will disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. And this is what the 144,000 will judge them for, all the dead bodies, all the blood that was shed here on this earth. There will be an accounting for this. And notice verse says, go back to Genesis 9, verse 5 again. Surely, for your life blood, I will demand an accounting from the hand of every beast. And this is not speaking of a lion, a tiger, the beast. Daniel can't show you what these beasts are. They are the governments of this earth. And the beast was symbolic of governments. Look me up and check me out in Daniel chapter 7, in Revelations. All of the apostles understood that the beast represented governments. I would demand an accounting from the hand of every beast, and right here, governments of this earth, these beastly governmental systems, I will require it. And from the hand of man, I will require it as well. From the hand of every man's brother, which you should be loving your brother, not hating your brother and killing him, or taking his life, a sacred obligation that you have to preserve it, and a sacred right he has to have life so that he can become in the image and likeness of his father. I require the life of every man. I will require the life of every man. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. For in the image, and this is the end result and the purpose. That's the reason why I told you that this is the sanctity of life. And what did it say there? It has a special use and a special and an exclusive end, purpose. And this is the purpose right here that was established in the everlasting covenant given to Noah. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. For in the image of Yahweh, he made man to become. That's what you were created for. And that is the end result of man. And then Yahweh says, I'm going to lift out of there 144,000 who will come to this, and they will be able to guide you forever into the great love and life and the love and peace that his covenant establishes. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Notice this. This has nothing to do with death. Being fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Notice what Yahweh says. Then Yahweh spoke to Noah and his son with him. As for me, behold, I have established my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And with every living creature, that is everything in creation, that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall our flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And Yahweh said, this shall be the sign of the covenant, which I must make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. And notice that this is what? And one of the foundations of it is this law right here. Do not murder. And there's an overlapping is said is the principle of the sanctity of all life. Because it's the foundation of all love. That the love that you can show to your brother is the preservation of his life and teaching him how to live. Because it's all of our sacred obligation and our sacred duty. And with that, I'm going to stop and I'm going to turn it back over to Rafael.